Now, data from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Census Bureau shows that the percentage of men in the U.S. labor force has been steadily declining for years. Over the same span, the percentage of men who report being a stay-at-home parent has been on the rise. That group represents still a relatively small fraction of the overall population, but the trends are showing no signs of slowing down. In opposite-sex couples, it has gone along with a rise in women as main household breadwinners. Our next guest has researched these trends in recent years to find out what kind of impact they're having on parents and families. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are any of the men in your life exiting the workforce to be stay-at-home dads or caregivers for other family members? Are you in a household where the woman is the main breadwinner, the main money bringer? If you're a guy who has made that decision to be a stay-at-home dad or had that decision put upon you, love to hear from you as well. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Noelle Chesley is an associate professor and sociology department chair at UW-Milwaukee. Noelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to join in and talk about this a little bit more.
Well, now, historically, household roles, I think, have been kind of gendered, certain responsibilities split between men and women. What have been some of the downsides of those traditionally, I guess, defined gender roles?
Well, I mean, the downsides are definitely a lack of flexibility, right? When you've got people who specialize in either taking care of the kids or in working a job to earn the family income, if either one of those areas gets disrupted and a person can't do them for one reason or another, it makes it very difficult for the family to respond at that point.
Now, I mentioned some national stats out there showing a steady increase in the number of men taking on those household caregiving roles. There are different ways to measure it, of course. What are you seeing out there as you've looked at research over the past decade or two?
Right. Yeah, you're right. There's people do argue a little bit about the numbers and the trends and sort of how to define this. Mm-hmm. I think what's really important for your listeners to understand is that staying at home without any employment is not very common for either men or women. I mean, in today's world, among couples and people who have children, it's much more common for either both members of a couple to be employed, for single parents to be employed. And we do still have families where there's a full-time at-home caregiver. It's much more likely to be a woman than it is to be a man. But there have been more men entering that role. This is something that we really started to talk about and see a little bit more right after the Great Recession. So right around 2010, I think this was a pretty hot topic. And it sounds like it's reviving a little bit now with some things that are out in the news.
I want to talk about the cultural response to this. In my youth, there was a movie called Mr. Mom that was all about the hilarity that ensues when the dad
yes.
is the household caregiver. Is there still sort of that, I don't know, discomfort or weirdness that people feel about it?
I think so. And I will tell you, I've interviewed families where there's a stay-at-home parent who is a man in the family. And many men that I have talked to hate Mr. Mom. They hate the movie. They hate the name. So definitely don't like that. Feel like it's a little degrading. And yeah, I think there still is some stigma around switching up these roles, actually both for the women who become primary earners for their families and for the men that take on that primary caregiving role.
Can you talk about the economic factors that are leading to some people doing this? I did it myself for a few years there where I was working part-time from home and being Mr. Mom, I guess, for the little kids in the house. What is driving people to do that? Again, not the dominant majority, but what is leading to some of those trends?
Yes, I think that in many ways you could view any kind of a move, especially for men, I think, to become full-time caregivers as symptomatic of really a sort of a lack of good, affordable childcare options, and also a commentary on demanding jobs. So I think what a lot of families find in general is that it's tough to find good childcare. It costs a lot. And so that definitely is a consideration that many families have to take, have to think more about and strategize a little bit about how they want to meet their caregiving needs. And then there just is a problem with jobs being pretty demanding. And so it can be difficult to substitute for the kind of family support you need, if, especially if both members of a couple have really demanding jobs. So you'll sometimes see, especially in, you forwarded me a Bloomberg piece, you know, there's discussions about people who have two really demanding jobs. And once kids are in the picture, even with, say, a great nanny, they just can't manage that.
We're talking to Noelle Chesley, Associate Professor and Sociology Department Chair at UW-Milwaukee, looking at caregiving men. Trends show men taking on caregiving roles more at home, maybe being, it's rare, full-time stay-at-home dad or part-time, part stay-at-home dad. Women more commonly becoming the breadwinners. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, and also love to hear your experiences wherever you are on these trends yourself, your own family. If you are a dad who's taken on more caregiving roles, love to hear from you. What kind of response do you get? Do you get called Mr. Mom? Do you hate it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, we focused on part one of what we're talking about here, the men maybe being more likely to be caregivers. Also, the trends I mentioned earlier on, Noelle, women being more likely in a two-parent household to be the primary breadwinner, when in the past, usually if a woman was the main breadwinner, statistically it was a single-parent family. What are you seeing in that?
Yeah, well, here I think part of what we're seeing with women and their earning potential is a result of more and more women investing in education. So I can't remember exactly when this happened, but a few years ago, some of your listeners might have remembered reading in the paper something that we now had more women entering college, for example, than men. And that was really positioning a lot more women for these more demanding and often higher paid jobs. And I think that's happened at exactly the time that we, you know, we've sort of been building on a longer standing trend of declining manufacturing jobs, the wages at some of those jobs that were traditionally done by a lot of men, and especially a lot of men who didn't have more formal education after high school. Wages and opportunities in those sectors of the economy have gotten a lot tougher. So I think there's been, you know, it's a pretty complex mix of a lot of different things going on in the economy, but certainly we're seeing that more and more women are going to be better positioned for higher earning jobs. And as those women marry and, you know, start families, it's going to change the calculus a little bit about how to meet these different needs, about who should work, who should really stay home and take care of kids.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Lake Halley. John, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, John.
I was listening earlier, and you were talking about men staying home. Well, my wife and I had an interesting relationship in that I worked nights and she worked days. So I would stay home with the kids and take care of them during the day. And then while they were sleeping, she would be there to take care of them.
Now, John, that sounds hard to me. I mean, working night shift is tough as it is. What was it like being a child care provider on top of that?
It was very tiring.
I bet.
I didn't get much sleep for about 3 years.
John, thanks a lot for that call. Noelle, sounds like you want to jump in.
Yeah. No, I love that John added that to the conversation, because it's a good reminder about some of the different strategies that families do come up with to handle, you know, this sort of conundrum about how to earn money and how to take care of especially small kids. And what he describes is definitely something that we study and that gets talked about among work and family researchers such as myself, this idea of families having different shifts or trying to manage shifts so that they can always have that 24-hour parental care is something that families do engage in. A lot of families, like John mentioned, find it to be difficult. It can be stressful, and it's actually, it can also be associated with higher rates of divorce with some of the research that we've seen. Sounds like John was successful in managing that in his own life, but it comes with its own challenges too. He mentioned being really exhausted, mm-hmm. and I'm sure he and his wife didn't get to see each other there for very much for a while.
John, thanks so much for sharing that at 800-642-1234. Jeff joins us now in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. This is a fun thing to recall for me because I worked at a daycare center in Seattle in 1987. So I saw this trend years ago that the dads would drop the kids off. They'd pay $3,000 a month. They were very wealthy, and they would I would take care of their kids during the day. But I knew men in Portland, Oregon, when I lived there in 1886, who were lawyers, and they would run their law office out of the house, and they would stay home and take care of the kids. I applaud it because it's very intentional parenting. It's very intentional family planning. I really like that idea.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Some experience from the 80s there, Noelle.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. I mean, one of the great things about some jobs is that it is possible to combine them with childcare during the day. Although I think, especially having just gone through the pandemic, there are parents out there who would talk about the struggles with that. And I'm also just thinking about that commercial, or maybe it was a, I think it's the commercial where the little kid comes in and is interrupting his dad on the Zoom call. A little more recently, but sure. Yeah, so not without its challenges to try to do all that out of the house.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. We're talking to UW-Milwaukee sociology professor Noelle Chesley about a rise in stay-at-home dads and female household breadwinners. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are we talking about you and your family? How have you juggled things to make things work with childcare and the employment world? If you are a dad who has taken on most or all of the daytime or nighttime childcare role, love to hear your experience, the reactions you get maybe from friends and family. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Noelle Chesley, Associate Professor and Sociology Department Chair at UW-Milwaukee. With us today, looking at a growing trend of men leaving the workforce to be stay-at-home dads or part-time working and stay-at-home dads, and women serving as household breadwinners more often. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your experiences, your questions, 800-642-1234. Karen joins us now in Monona. Karen, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I'm driving. I apologize. When I had my third child, when we had our third child, and at the age that he was two, I had to divorce his father because I was the main breadwinner doing the child, about to do the child care. I was teaching at the time, and what happened was that was what I did. I continued doing childcare until the kids were gone and then found another job. I turned into an apartment or a property manager, but since I was late into the career doing that, I still, in my 70s, have to work to make up for the lack of Social Security, et cetera, that allows me now to retire.
Karen, thanks for the call. Karen, bring up an important experience. I had the kids after divorce, single parenting and navigating the world of work. Noelle, we're talking about, which parent is the only parent?
Yeah. Actually, what Karen describes is pretty common for a lot of women. You could also almost think of it as the caregiving penalty because for scholars who study especially poverty at the end of life, one of the reasons we see so many women struggling financially is because of a lot of the time that they either took away from employment completely to engage in care for their families, or because they had to take that more flexible, less well-paying job to sort of accommodate those responsibilities. So I think her story really illustrates that broader pattern that we see oftentimes in the population.
Karen, thanks a lot for sharing that with us. We'll go to Alberto in Milwaukee. Alberto, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I was listening to you guys talking about this, and not even the expert here has talked about love and attachment. The attachment the kids get from the parents during those years, how important it is. The same importance the attachment of the kid to the mother's breast milking. No drinking formula. The love and the whole is this. The conversation until now has been very transactional, very, very much about money and talking about breadwinner, which I was saying to the person that took the phone up. The breadwinner is a phrase from the 50s that shouldn't be used anymore.
Alberto, thanks a lot for the call. And actually, honestly, I've been saying breadwinner. I don't like that phrase either that much. I just don't have a better shorthand. But Alberto's point about the attachment and a lot of dads, I appreciated having that opportunity when my kids were littler. It isn't just about the money, Noelle.
Absolutely. Yes, I can definitely talk about that. Thank you so much for sort of turning the conversation in that direction, Alberto. And also on the breadwinner thing, I completely agree. We could just say primary earner,
yeah,
or, you know, larger earner or something like that. But one of the things I thought I could mention that I actually discovered in my own investigations of families who were taking this on is that one of the men who took on the role of being a more involved, more primary caregiver to their children oftentimes found that to be really transformational for them. And it's exactly what Alberto's talking about. I mean, they came to value the work that they were doing in the home, their relationships with their children really deepened in a way that, men would often talk about it in this very kind of transformational way. So I don't think we want to completely think about it as like, the work-family equation and how much does childcare cost and all those other things, even though those do weigh into family decision-making.
Thanks a lot for the call, Alberto. We'll go to Tony now with us in Milwaukee. Tony, hi.
Hi, this is Tony. I did want to chime in that I was a full-time stay-at-home dad. Actually, still am, I consider myself. But I started back in 2003 when our second daughter was 6 months old. We also had a two-year-old at the time. We actually had options for childcare, but really, my wife and I wanted to do the parenting, the majority of it, at least ourselves. So that was probably the prime factor. My wife had a successful career in real estate. So that was I was an engineer. So her opportunities to bring the family income was much greater than mine. And that turned out to be a great decision. But that was kind of the main thing. And I'll tell you, from my perspective, the hardest thing to deal with was the generation of men older than me. They could really not understand that I would actually give up my career to do this and stay at home. The guys that were my age kind of thought more that, that this, I was retired. They would call me the stay at home mom and all that. They were more jealous, but I found it hard to deal with the generation a little bit older because they just could not understand me giving up my career. So that was the challenges and the enjoyment I had with staying at home with my kids.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Tony. Yeah, definitely. I think some generational attitude changes Tony is reflecting there.
Yeah. I love Tony's story. It sounds a lot like many of the families that I talk to. I mean, different in the details, but just some real central themes. You know, I think for families that have two professional parents. So it sounds like he said he was trained as an engineer and his wife had a job that was also, you know, potentially higher earning. What he described is really typical. I mean, this idea that the parents really value this idea of parental care and they sort of make the decision to have one person stay home to sort of uphold those values. I will say that there are some real different experiences for families that are not quite in those economic circumstances. So it can feel like less of a choice there for those families.
Thanks a lot for the call, Tony. Gretchen is with us now, also in Milwaukee. Gretchen, hi.
Hi, I'm Gretchen.
What did you want to tell us about Gretchen?
So I'm a teacher at Milwaukee Public Schools, and my husband is a full-time stay-at-home dad, and he is just like absolutely rocking it. But you know, when he goes out and about, he'll take the kids to the zoo or he'll take the kids to the park. And he always gets comments from a lot of like probably more so older women he says the most. And, you know, they'll say like, oh, looks like, you know, you've got your hands full. It looks like mommy's day off, or it looks like you're babysitting today. And it just drives him totally nuts because, you know, this is his every day. And typically when I have the kids, I'm the one with my hands full. So it's just kind of unfortunate that people, you know, feel like they have the right to make those comments. So it's just kind of too bad.
Interesting, Gretchen. So we heard about the older men from our last caller. Now the older women, too, kind of not quite getting it, Noelle.
Yeah, I think both of those stories together do really illustrate kind of the lag in attitudes in the broader society and sort of the realities of what families are actually doing in their everyday lives.
Gretchen, thanks a lot for that call. Just in our last minute, Noelle, we can't predict the future, but what kind of trends, what kind of things are you watching for when it comes to who provides the caregiving in our households?
I certainly think that families, given the situation that we're in now with the potential for all sorts of disruptions in both employment and the rise of caregiving, I think families are going to have to be really, really flexible in how they deal with this. And more men are going to be pitching in and taking care of both their aging relatives and their young kids. And people are probably going to have to take turns and do different shifts and figure out all sorts of ways to try to manage this moving forward.
Noelle, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yep. Thank you.
That's Noelle Chesley, associate professor in the sociology department at UW-Milwaukee, also chair of that department, with us today looking at a small but growing trend of men leaving the workforce to be caregivers at home, women serving as the primary earner in their households. Still time for you to share your story with us, how you've managed these things, the caregiving roles in particular. Let us know your story over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, or you can always email us, ideas@wpr.org.